Blog Talk Radio.
Somehow the government was not running a deficit.
there was a budget surplus. Now, maybe that's because we weren't at war. Maybe that's because we worried about creating economic power and prosperity here inside the United States of America. Just maybe. So I say, don't blame it on Obama. Obama, it's not Obamacare that's caused the problem. It's war that's caused the problem. War, war, war. The chat room's open, folks, if you want to come in. Let me get back to the switchboard. I think that's the switchboard. Well, that might be the chat room. Oh, I got more of these blessed windows open. Okay, I got too many of these chat rooms open, and I'm trying to fix it, folks. Please give me a chance. This one's got to go. Let's see what happens. Norman Knight, still no guests. And that one's got to go. Oh, God, I spend more time. Hey, I got a call coming in. Hey, you're on with Norm. Go ahead, California.
How's it going, man?
Hey, it's going all right. I don't know if you've been listening to me or not.
Oh, I caught a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm on a Blame It On Boehner kick.
Oh, okay.
I'm sick and tired of listening to him blame everything on President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
It's Obama this, Obama that. All I know is 8 years before Obama came on the scene, Boehner and his buddies inherited a budget surplus from President Kennedy. And in 8 years, they not only flitted it away, but they also managed to double the national debt.
Yeah, they did do that.
They almost managed to put us back into the Great Depression. I mean, Boehner and his buddies almost topped Herbert Hoover.
Yeah, well, what do you think about the agreement they just made? Didn't that look like... So tell me, does it...
The one over the weekend?
Yeah. I see Obama just selling out liberal values once more.
I have some difficulty with that. But I would just like to point out something.
Mm-hmm.
10 years ago, because now we've had 2 years of President Obama... 10 years ago, the government was running at a budget surplus.
I know. I've been hearing about this surplus for that many years.
Same.
Is that the sole accomplishment of the Clinton administration or what?
Same Social Security, same Medicare. But the government was running out of surplus. What wasn't there? Well, there wasn't a war in Afghanistan.
No, there was one in Kosovo.
What?
There was one in Kosovo.
Oh, that wasn't a war.
Right. You still got troops there.
Yeah, but nobody was shooting at them.
Well, now it's just UN forces building bridges and whatnot.
You know, you take it, the money we spend in Afghanistan would fix Social Security forever.
Yeah, I think we established that.
The money that we, or the money we spend in Iraq making infrastructure improve after we blew the whole place up,
yeah,
would more than fix America.
Mm. Well, you'll have to...
But the reason we're running a deficit is Obamacare.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, it's not just Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya. It's over 600 bases overseas. Okay? And it's...
I don't have any problem with that.
Well, yeah, but you understand that this is a country with an ideology that is global, and, you know, I don't think the majority of people, the population, agrees with it, but it's the mindset in Washington and all those
things. I don't have a problem with being a global country. I do have a problem with armies of occupation.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't care what you call them. That's what they are.
Right. But on the other hand, you know, you have to have the initiative and the spirit to invade them first, for whatever reason you're going to do that. You know, essentially our mission in Afghanistan was accomplished a very long time ago. It's accomplished now. Did we sign on with a prerequisite to completely transform their economy and rebuild a nation that was, you know, it's insane that we have these values. Why do we continue to pursue a Marshall Plan in Afghanistan? People who could give a rat's ass, I mean, you know, they don't care. Oh, jeez.
Why did we do it in Greece in the first place?
Well, you know, this is if you want to get into it, you know, we've taken numerous steps, and you can look at NAFTA, you can look at the many trade agreements around the world, you know, the entire military policy is based on setting up a global economy. And if we, and you know, everybody's worried about, oh, jobs in America being outsourced. Well, look at the S&P 500, the top 500 companies in the country, do, on average, more than half their businesses overseas. That's where you are. I mean, when you buy American companies now, you got to know that the bulk of their business and their employees and their manufacturing is not in the United States. So why do you think Wall Street is doing so well now? Not because of this country, because of everywhere else where, you know, you have thriving economies in Brazil, India, China, Indonesia, even Russia, you know.
Well, we don't do so bad ourselves when it comes right down to it.
Yeah, but we aren't anywhere near as good as we were a decade ago.
Well, that's for sure.
Or let's say a little longer, you know.
It's because we're fighting wars.
Well, exactly.
And so the wars don't have to be fighting.
Yeah, well...
The wars we chose to fight.
Yeah. I've seen no indication from this president that he has any intention of ending any of those conflicts. And now the military staff is reconsidering Iraq. Now, we're supposed to be out of there this year. Unless the Iraqis say, oh, we would like you to stay.
They told us to leave 2 years ago.
Yeah, well, we haven't done that yet, have we? But now we're reconsidering. What does that mean?
Then I want somebody to tell me why.
Yeah, well, oh, they think that due to the, what are we calling it now, the Arab Spring, with all the unrest throughout the whole region, that we think that if we leave, there'll be a power vacuum, and we aren't sure who's going to take advantage of it. We think the Kurds might declare independence, and Iran may move in, or the Sunnis may revolt, or Al-Qaeda may spring up again. We've got lots of ideas there. But essentially, they're thinking, well, if we leave, we need to be there because so many other things could happen, you know.
Well, there's a lot of things going on. And, hey, all you people out there, it's 347-945-6713. And you can call Norm at night, too. A lot of people promised to call tonight on each hearing.
Well, maybe you should call them.
I've been getting emails. I had trouble opening the chat room, and I'm not getting any guests in it.
Yeah, I didn't even see a chat room when I was on. So might be there now, but I didn't want to refresh the screen. I figured I'd lose everything. So, but let's see.
So how about those Buffalo Sabres making the hockey playoffs? I guess that starts tomorrow.
Yeah. I haven't followed it a whole lot, but, you know, I did catch
it. I haven't either, and I wish they hadn't made it, so then I can forget about it. Now I'm liable to be listening to hockey, too.
After that 1 year in the Stanley Cup, you know, with the puck being kicked in and all that, that was, you know.
Well, hey, you know, you're an old newspaper guy.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been on the Washington Post online version of the newspaper lately?
Not a whole lot. Once in a while, somebody sends me a link.
I've got a whole new look, and I'm not sure I care for it. And I wondered what you thought about it.
Oh, well, I could take a look later on, but
how about the Buffalo News? They're all changed too.
Oh, I haven't been there in a while either, but it was a pretty basic site. I mean, you know.
What they've done is, first of all, the switching to video is absolutely astounding.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's 30.
And I mean, there's more and more, and it really is a whole new literacy. But the articles, they used to have a paragraph or two before you had to click to go to the full article.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a sentence.
Oh, Chris.
It's really astounding, and I'm not sure I care for it.
Yeah, I have actually. I've seen that in numerous places. Of course, the New York Times now is a paste. Pay for view.
you get 20 a month for free or something.
Yeah. So.
Well, they originally were pay, and then they had to compete with the Post, which has been free forever. Now to get the free Post, you got to get 40 emails a week.
Yeah, I think the only one who's really made it work was Wall Street Journal, but. You know, that's they have a lot of corporate clients, so of course that makes sense, you know.
Pay work?
What's that?
The Wall Street Journal is a pay site.
Yeah, exactly. I said that's about the only one who's made it work.
You made the free site work. Okay, now I understand.
Yeah.
But the Washington Post has always been, they were the pioneer of the free newspaper website.
Mm-hmm.
They recognized it right from the beginning.
Yeah. Well, a lot of they have problems with, you know, other websites who just link to their stories and sometimes copy them outright, you know. They'll copy maybe a third of it and then put a link at the bottom, but you'll get most of the story. So in that sense, you know, let's say somebody's somebody's sipping their milkshake, you know.
Well, you know, that's another, you know, it's interesting that you said that, because that's another thing I've noticed. I was, you know, part of a journalism class, and my big thing was always who, what, when, and where, you know, in the first three sentences.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, they're not doing that anymore for exactly, well, they seem to be doing less of it for exactly that reason that you pointed out.
Yeah, it's, you know, journalism goes through styles from time to time. You know, it's a back and forth thing. And I've noticed, well, it's probably out of necessity, but stories tend to be much more brief, with the exception of the elites, you know, which are your top writers and reporters. And then they get to tell stories, you know.
Yeah, well, so, newspapers have always been written for sixth graders.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, you know, I mean, they know their audience, you know. I mean, for the longest time, we've had, what do we call it? Newspapers in education. And essentially,
in the old sitting there, you can't be doing heavy-duty thinking and analysis while you're sitting at the breakfast table, and that's where most people read the newspaper.
Well, yeah, they always, if you don't catch them in the morning, they won't read it. I mean, for the rest of the day, your audience is gone, because then they're on their computers or they're watching television, and they will not pick up the newspaper. But what I was going to say with this newspaper and education thing, we would print newspapers for children and distribute them in the elementary schools to get them. To get them used to the idea of reading a newspaper. And I think it's still ongoing, but it's not, I don't think it's as extensive as it used to be. Because when I worked at McClatchy, we printed a lot of that stuff out, and we had an extensive program trying to indoctrinate the kids right away, you know.
Indoctrinate, wow.
Well, I don't know. Can you think of a better word for it?
Ah, God.
Are we teaching kids to read?
The word
product?
That the indoctrinators like to use is educate.
Yeah, but, you know.
Teach them critical thinking skills.
Right,
what?
But we're also trying to increase the subscriber base, so,
you know. Here's the
yeah, there was
I've been in the education business, and nobody really wants them to be critical thinkers.
Yeah, you don't get that till you'll get it in college, I think. There are enough teachers who do think in those terms, you know.
Well,
but you know,
but
think of all the schools. You know, books that were banned from schools. I mean, especially when we went to school.
Still are.
Yeah.
In many places. Are you going to talk about Huck Finn?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean,
Henry Miller and Lawrence Durrell, they weren't even allowed in the country until 1960.
Right, right. Yeah, it's a...
See how many Tropic of Cancers are in your local high school library.
Oh, well. Yeah, I guess. Well, you know, it only takes a couple of parents to, you know, start the fire.
Yeah, it only takes a couple of parents to get rid of a teacher, I'll tell you that.
That can happen too, yeah.
Oh, it sure can.
Oh, is that the... Are you alluding to something?
I don't want to talk about it. It's a personal...
Okay. Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Let me see if I can find this. I don't know if I still have it in my... on my clipboard or not. Let me just get a Word document open here. God, this computer, sometimes. I only got about 6 minutes left.
Mm,
you still with me?
I'm still here. Oh, I did want to mention, I'll throw this in while you're looking, Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged. The film version is coming out on Friday.
I didn't. Didn't they? Wasn't a film of that made a long time ago?
No, they did Fountainhead.
Which is the one I always get mixed up. Which is the one with Rourke the Architect?
Oh, the Architect is Fountainhead.
Oh, it is. Okay.
And Atlas Shrugged is with John Galt.
That's right.
And
okay.
That one is like a, I don't know what to call it, a libertarian primer or...
Well, they both
or
as
she called it, objectivism.
Objectivism. She's a wacko.
No, she was not.
She was a wacko.
Look... The book is what, I think it's, isn't it like second best-selling book next to the Bible?
Oh, that's a claim to fame.
I believe it is something like that.
Oh, she's just nuts.
Look, I mean...
Everybody reads them when they're a teenager. I mean, I loved Rourke the Architect and the girlfriend who ran the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's right up my alley.
Well, the thing is that, okay, objectivism is based solely on reason. And the conditions, the conditions for, let's say, a completely free capitalist market or a society based on those principles is pretty much impossible. In fact, most.
And I've only got about 3 minutes left of the live show here, but I read something. It's called the Open Educator Manifesto, and I just want to read it here. It's not going to take very long.
Okay.
The Open Educator Manifesto. We educate future citizens of the world. Teaching is my professional practice. I share by default. I am open, transparent, collaborative, and social. My students own their own learning process, learning environment, learning products, and learning assessment. My students belong to learning networks. Every student deserves customized learning, a student voice, and a student choice. Every educator deserves customized learning. I have high expectations. I care, share, and dare. I'm a role model. I am the change I want to see. Still with me?
Yeah. I'm thinking of the word to describe it. I'll be kind and call it idealistic.
What have you worked kind?
I'd probably use some of the same things people use to describe Ayn Rand.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm saying is, you know.
Ideals that
level are, you know. They're wonderful to consider, and we all love them, but we also know that, you know, in the world we live in, that's crazy.
Not only is it crazy, it gets you fired.
Yeah, that's right.
It gets you fired.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, without getting into a lot of detail, I was working with software and equipment that was incredibly outdated back when I was at McClatchy. And we used to have to dumb down everything to make it work. So if you sent me PDFs that were done with, CS2 or 3 or whatever, I would have to convert them back to older versions. They couldn't embed fonts. I mean, there was all this stuff that was going on. And it was incredibly frustrating for me because rather than getting the new software and equipment that could handle change, we were going in the opposite direction. It was just a pain, you know. But, you know, that's the kind of frustration that I, you know, would deal with down there.
And we're off the stream now.
Oh, okay.
Still, everything's still being recorded, but we're off the live stream. So
okay.
Anybody who's not with us is now, who hadn't called in, or let me just see if there's anybody in the chat room. No, there isn't. Before we go here tonight, do you do any, I'm just curious, do you do any contracting work ever?
Oh, not anymore. That all kind of dried up, I sort of lost interest in it, and the money wasn't, once the economy started getting as bad as it is, that all dried up. So, anyway, and then I sort of lost interest in doing it anyway. So now I haven't done any graphics in years. I mean, literally years. So.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I could. I mean, I still have everything, but I don't know. I just...
Actually, they're up to CS5 now.
Mm. Oh, what's that, Adobe?
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought... Oh, let me see. I used to get every single version of Photoshop and all that right up. I mean, from the very first version on. And now I have a... I have a suite of Adobe CS, and then that's it. And that's old now. I think that was 2000.
Right. What do you have? Two?
I have CS. No, it's just CS. It was the first time where they put...
They've given them numbers.
Yeah, well, yeah, they put... it was the first time they put all of the applications together.
Right.
So you had Illustrator... So you had Illustrator.
I actually have the Master Suite on a computer.
Oh, okay. So I think there were the four of them.
It's absolutely incredible what they put on them. But, do you have an iPhone?
No. No, I don't have. In fact, I don't have a mobile phone at all.
Oh, okay.
AT&T keeps wanting to give me one, but I... Still haven't had a use for it, so.
I just love this iPhone. I mean, I just do. And but they have these two free apps. What do they call? Words for Friends and Chess for Friends.
Oh.
And Chess for Friends is. I just actually put that on.
Mm-hmm.
Word for Friends is a Scrabble variant.
Uh-huh.
And there's no time limit on it or anything. So, whenever you got a minute, you click it on your phone to see if it's your turn. And it's sort of like check by mail whenever you feel like doing it.
Oh,
and it's way. Yeah, it is, and it's way better than chess by email because, it's in your pocket.
Oh, so in other words, it saved somewhere, the game is saved, or no?
Yeah, and you make the move, and then, my phone will beep when one of these things come in. I can, if I can look at it, I'll go look at it. If I can't, I'll go look at it later.
So now, is this stored locally? I mean, on your machine, or is there a little?
I have no idea. No. It's a push application. It sits out there somewhere.
Yeah, it's in the cloud, as we call it now.
Oh, pardon me?
The cloud.
Yeah.
A server somewhere in the world. But, you know
what? And that's why these guys, and they'll never get any credit, and they'll always be like crooks.
Oh.
Got the LimeWire guys.
Mm.
That's the first cloud application there was.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I keep hearing about these things, but like I say, they don't do, there's nothing vital about it to me, and I haven't found anything interesting enough. Although something I would actually consider.
Napster started out, served all the songs from a server.
Mm-hmm.
People would load songs to the Napster server, and if you loaded songs, you got to share songs.
Right, right.
And LimeWire, they finally got hired. Napster didn't fight the fight. They capitulated, and the result was iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
But LimeWire, all they did was serve as an index.
Oh, like
so the only thing their servers kept track of is what songs were on what servers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on computers.
Well, that was that. What do they call that? The torrent. Streaming thing
BitTorrent's still around.
Mm-hmm.
I've never done a whole bunch of BitTorrent, but anyway, it's 11:37. I gotta get up at 5.
Five? Holy God!
Oh yeah, I've been waking up at 5 just forever. Yeah. You remember Chris Beach? I used to get up practically before the sun came up.
Well, these days I get up around 6 o'clock because the sun is up at 6, and then the cat Doodles comes over and hits me with his paw until I get up and let him out, you know. So.
All right. Well, so thanks for calling, and we'll talk to you next week. This was a good conversation.
Sounds good, man. Have a good
evening.
All right,
this is Norman Knight saying goodbye for another Tuesday.
Good night.
Good night, Carl.